And the wicked student is saying in his heart, why you just go on and go on and go on? Well, then go on and listen to something else. You guys, are you digressing? Are you going off, you know, you're going off on a tangent? No, this is the subject. Don't you understand? Neither remember ye the 5 loaves and the 5,000. Oh, when you get to the multitudes, what happens? The leaven comes out. There's always leaven among the multitudes. That's why Jesus had a picked few who were his inner circle. And even among them, there was leaven. There was stuff that needed to come out. But like I said, with man, it's impossible to get leaven out. But with God, it is. Everything is possible. Anything is possible with God. That's one of the coolest things about God, is that you're not stuck with only what's possible to man. You know, the things that are possible with man are very limited. You know, opportunities, you know, for a man such as I with no qualifications, right? People have said to me many times, oh, Paul, why don't you become a minister? Why don't you do this, that, the other? I wish you, it's like, for a man such as I, there's no possibilities. I couldn't become a... They say, well, where'd you get your education? Where'd you get your degree? I mean, I suppose I could lie, like some people. But thankfully, God isn't looking for degrees and doctors. I'm not saying he wouldn't choose a doctor. He could choose someone who had a degree. There's just not many, though, that he chooses. But God chooses the things of this world that are despised. Things that have no value. Only in God would I have any opportunity to be anything that really meant anything. Because in the world, they could never make me a minister. He's not qualified. Not qualified. Not only that, I don't like the things he has to say. If I had qualifications, they still wouldn't accept me. And yeah, I glory in that a little bit. I rather would glory in my rejection than in my acceptance. But don't you want thousands of people to listen to you? They'd follow Jesus because he did miracles. If I did miracles, people would follow me. Oh, they would. You betcha. If I make spina bifida people, if God did those kind of miracles through me, oh, I'd have thousands of people come see me. If you could literally do those miracles, where, you know, literally, where someone would go like, wow, what happened to Johnny? Johnny had no legs. Now he's got legs. What happened? Well, I went to see this guy. And it was a miracle. He had no legs, and now he has legs. What happened to Bill? Didn't he have cerebral palsy? Didn't he have multiple sclerosis? What happened? We went to see this guy. You know, and these people with real, discernible, crippling diseases to be made as whole as any man. To see that happen. People would follow that. And they'd want to hear what you had to say. Because they'd be like, there's something going on here. And that was a testimony to them of Christ. But the testimony in this time is rejection. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in the heaven, or bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So here he asks, who do they say that I am? Who do men say that I am? What do they say? And some said, John the Baptist. That's, for some reason, they were like, oh, you know, the people see one thing and they expect it to be again. You know, well, that John the Baptist was something else. It's Jesus, he must be that sort of continuation of John the Baptist. He's maybe John the Baptist again, part two. Some Elijah. This is Elijah that was forced to come, whereas John was actually Elijah. he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And I think it's always interesting that, you know, I remember Herbert W. Armstrong, he's dead. And his disciples were like, he was the end time Elijah. The end time Elijah didn't live in the end times, little children. Wrong. Herbert W. Armstrong is not the end time Elijah. He'll make a lot of his followers really mad. I don't care. He wasn't. He didn't come in the spirit and power of Elijah. That guy was rich. Elijah was not. Neither was John the Baptist, you know, was a austere man. I mean, he lived his life in a severe environment. You know, I have not seen Elijah yet, I'll tell you that. You know, Jeremiah, one of the, he's like, oh, they always want to look back. Oh, it's like Isaiah's come back. One of the old prophets has come back. I don't know if they mean by resurrection or by a sort of a, it's the spirit of Jeremiah again. And these would all be very positive things that they would be saying about Christ. You know, they were thinking very positively, it's one of the prophets. Because they didn't dare say what was on their hearts. Is this the Messiah? When they want to say something positively, they're very reluctant to declare the Messiah has come. But it was a time that Christ should come. That's what Christ means, by the way. It's the same word in Hebrew. The Greek word Christ answers to the Hebrew word Messiah. It means anointed. We get a word like Christen from the word Christ. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Lord's anointed. You know, the kings of Israel were called the Lord's anointed. David, when he wouldn't kill Saul, he said, I will not put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. He whom God has chosen and anointed for some special purpose. Jesus Christ, he had a special purpose. He was anointed king, priest. He was anointed the savior of the world. He's the savior of all, especially of them that believe, specifically. So Peter confesses, you are the Christ. You are the promised Messiah, the one who would come. He will save Israel from their sins. And he's referring, he knows, it's of the prophesied Christ. There had been anointed, but this was the Christ. There had been Son of Men, but this was the Son of Man. That's who he called himself, though. I'm the Son of Man. And to him, that was amazing. You know, I think to Christ, because he's like, I'm God in flesh. I'm God made flesh. The Son of Man. To look at himself as sort of this man creature that he'd become. The Son of Man, this and such and the other such. You know, that's why he would refer to himself in the third person. When I think about that and I imagine Christ and think of him referring to himself in that regard, I don't know, it just makes me feel a certain way.